welcome to this episode of the Heretic Hammer Podcast. I am your host, Marshall, and this is my co-host, Dylan.
Hello, hello.
And with this illustrious start, a new season, in a way, you could say, upon us, we have something new. We look a little different.
We do.
I thought you were going to like be like, we do? Like, pretend you don't
what?
Know.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, of course I know. I'm excited.
Yeah. So we have our new kind of speaking audio visualizer, which will be infinitely easier on my edit, because the way I used to do it would break all the time. just literally every time I've had to scrap episodes, I had to scrap one episode partly because of it. So that's where I was like, all right, I hate this. And now we are lovingly portrayed by none other than Taylor, or at Taylor's Art.
Woo!
Yes, our wonderful creator for much of the art that has appeared on this channel for characters. All of our Natural One characters of the last two campaigns were also drawn by Taylor. She is wonderful, and you should absolutely go check her out. The benefit is that now that we have these here, her card will always be in the descriptions of our videos, and therefore you can go check her out and go see all the stuff she has to offer on her card.
Yes, commission her when she's available.
Yeah,
help absolutely. Her make fat stacks. She deserves it.
Absolutely. The fattest stacks.
If we know anything about artists, it's that they make fat stacks all the time.
I mean, you know, you're one furry commission away, right? That's the meme.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one not safe for work. Well, specifically, you're one not safe for work commission away.
Yes. Yeah. That's how you buy houses.
Yeah. I need this down payment. Guy who wants not safe for work furry art. I can
guys,
oblige.
I have three slots open. And,
I can oblige. But this isn't a podcast about not safe for work furry art. We'll talk about that when we get to the Space Wolves.
We'll make a separate podcast for you don't want to clog up your feed.
Yeah. Well, then when we get to the Space Wolves, we'll help with that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So one thing about our lovely art representations, if you will. So I am... Now I've transformed from being a sister to my Eldari Corsair warlocky self, in a way. And then next to me is now my Guevesa Tau conscript as I teach the lore of the humans.
That's just what he calls me to his friends.
But... You know, like I picked, you know, obviously like when I spoke with Taylor, you know, I tried to pick some certain things, like, you know, I wanted these colors because I wanted them to be kind of reflective of some of my, you know, my general colors that I like to use. And then I was like, but like, what, you know, what is one that like, you know, you have, because I feel like you've kind of had some in the past, but then some others. But I thought, what's something that Dylan would enjoy? And so I wanted to ask you, what do you think why do you think your armor color is what it is? And what do you think it is?
Yeah, so
What did I tell Taylor to make?
I'm excited about this because it's a thing where I'm like, I'm 90% certain I'm going to get this wrong, but it's fun to guess. So I am familiar with the guava bean connection to the Tau. I understand that now, but for the color, I was thinking a lot about, okay, well, what does Marshall know that I'm familiar with? What is he? What have we connected on a couple times throughout this show as like, this is my point of reference. This is what I'm aware of. So I was curious if the red the red with the slight orange detail, if this is in any way a connection to the MSN 04 Sazabi, which is a suit used by one Shar Aznable in the Mobile Suit Gundam series.
A great thought, but not exactly what I had her thinking of. Not not the thing I put up to her.
Shoot. This has been the final episode of Heretic Hammer. Appreciate you guys watching.
Take
up
one
to this
more
point.
Crack. If you look at the colors of your armor, what do you think of?
I've made my case clear. My first thought is Gundam, because I think of Gundam a lot.
But just default to you and your own knowledge, likes, past likes. Look at the colors of your armor. What do they emit?
Let me check something here real quick. So this is my, like I said, I said 90% before, because I'm like, it's going to be something that should be super obvious, and I'm just going to be blanking on it.
You have this.
It's not. Well, I feel like the next obvious thing is like Commander Brightsword. Because didn't he have a red mech that he used?
Who? Are you talking about Farsight?
So it's not that either. Yeah, no, because I'm talking about Ovar. So not Ovar, not Farsight. I gotta narrow this down, because otherwise I'll be here all night.
Sure.
Is it related to something within Warhammer 40K, or is it outside of Warhammer
40K? Outside. Yeah, outside.
Okay. Is it Genesis Evangelion?
I was going to say, some could say that when you're getting near the end of the world.
Because at first I was like, that seems like it could be a possibility, but
Some could say that we're sitting in a separate realm.
We're at the end.
A face of a fallen comrade staring at us. In
out
a pool of blood.
Sea.
That's right. That's what I went for. I was like, I feel like if I go for this, it won't be too obvious if I tell her to use Ava 2.
I was like, okay, so Asuka Langley, it's like, yeah, I guess, okay. No, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And that is straight up the color scheme right there. I think I was just so in my head about, like, I've mentioned Gundam on this show a lot. And so I was convinced that it would be a reference to the Sazabi. But no, yeah.
Yes.
Asuka
and I
Langley,
had,
that makes
I,
perfect
sense. I had that thought. But I was thinking about what are colors that I should use. And, like, obviously I thought, like, what are some that I know you like and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But then I was just kind of like, you know, I was like, but wouldn't it be also great if you were the Asuka Tau?
Yeah. No, that is great. That's a great combination.
Because I did
and look
also.
And look at you with your purple and green.
Yeah.
Also,
my
also
VTuber.
Matching. Yeah. But also matching up with your colors.
If it was a darker purple, it would have been more, Shinji.
Yeah.
Get in the mech. Mm-hmm. Stop crying. Get in the mech. You don't want
Marshall
Imperial
if,
Guard to
Marshall
have to pilot
if,
it again, do you?
I was just going to say, Marshall, if you don't get in the podcast, then Dylan's going to have to do it again. And he just like panned to me in a hospital bed playing with my Gundam figures.
Now, today, we are going to be doing a little bit of discussion about the Primarchs.
Woo.
Yeah, so we ended the last season, our last episode, was all the book club about Lionel Johnson, his return to the 42nd millennium.
Hanging out in the woods.
Yep. And just finding a few friends along the way. But what it has obviously brought forth, and with some recent news release in 40, the 40K-verse, we know coming this year is the return of Fulgrim the Phoenician.
Fulgrim.
Yes. our loving demon Primarch of Slaanesh will be coming in. And thus, it has brought up a fair bit of question amongst the community, and one of which I wanted to participate in on two levels. A, just because it's good, clean fun. And then second, because I would actually love to hear some thoughts from you about this aspect.
That's perfect, because when I think of Slaanesh, I think of good, clean fun.
Well, not specifically about Slaanesh. This is, again, about the Primarchs as a whole, and that of which ones are going to come back next. Yeah. There are many opinions on the matter. There are many who wish that they would stay gone, stay a myth, you know, and then obviously, and then there are others who honestly are pretty excited to see him come back. And then there are plenty in between. Honestly, most people I would say are in between there, because there are definitely probably some that those people would wish and hope will stay dead. And then there are some which are just missing. So it's like, well, where we would like to maybe know what happened with them. Though half of the fun with 40K is the mystery, but it's always nice when some mystery can have some conclusion. And then, as I mentioned, those who wish they would just stay away. But we're going to live in the reality that is likely to be the case, and that some are going to definitely come back. I first need to give you a bit of a baseline here. So the first thing, though, if we're going to talk about the Primarchs potentially coming back, I need to learn it you, or kind of like remind you slash, you know, have the breakdown on what Primarchs are where at this point in time. And this is going to look like it's a tier list episode, but I assure you it's not. This is not actually a tier list episode.
Don't be I'm fooled. Using this. Avert your eyes, audience.
I'm using this as a function. This is a
pay
bucket.
No attention. Pay no attention to the Primarch behind the curtain.
Yeah, these are going to be treated as just buckets. This is like
there's
where
only
they
14
are.
Of them. Remember that.
No, there's only 18.
There's only 14 of them.
Okay, well, the 18 that are listed here, the ones that we're going to talk about. Okay, so to begin with, we need, you know, I kind of thought about going into this two ways. Maybe you can kind of just tell me how you'd like to go with it. We can kind of go in the kind of somewhat random order that they are here, or we can just go based on the going from the bottom to top in buckets. In the bucket order.
Let's go in the order that we've got them presented in currently.
Okay. So.
No chance for bias.
Despite that this isn't a tier list. These are just
there's no,
classifications.
It's, no tier list. It's not a tier list, all right?
These are just classifications. And I mean that with all sincerity because these are just you could tell by the segments that they're literally just descriptions of their living status. The first one on our list here is Corvus Corax. So Corvus was last seen within the I want to say it was somewhere I think it's like the 32nd or 3rd millennium. It was a number of years after. It was within that period of time and relative number of years after the Horus Heresy concluded. But essentially, Corvus was riddled with so much guilt about kind of everything, right? Like everything that happened in the Heresy, everything that happened with Istvaan V, where almost all of his legion was killed. And, you know, he kind of finally decided, all right, you know what? I'm going to face this guilt head on and I'm going to go find and kick Lorgar's butt in the Eye of Terror. And the last words he left with his legion with was nevermore, because you couldn't be any more stupidly fitting Edgar Allan Poe
gotta
shit.
Got to be Raven themed. You got to keep that, with the theme.
Yes. Yes. Hence why his name is Corvus Corax. Just like the one next to him with somewhat equally kind of silly, dumb
we'll
name.
We'll get to him.
Yeah. To anyway. Him. So, and as far as we know, you know, he did that and he successfully did enter the Eye of Terror, entered the domain and the planet of the word bearers. So in the Eye of Terror, there are actually functionable planets that the Chaos Space Marines kind of live in now, that are not, they do get transfigured, and they still get messed up because the Eye of Terror is still this middle ground between the warp and reality. But there are planets with living beings in the Eye of Terror, and the word bearers live on one of them with Lorgar. And when Corvus showed up, he just myrtleized a good couple of word bearers. And he just appeared as the specter, and that specter then walked up in front of Lorgar and was like, "We're going to fight." And Corvus kicked Lorgar's ass, despite that Lorgar was a full-on demon prince Primarch. Still took an L. Still took a fat L against Corvus Korax.
Great.
And that's the last that we've seen of him. This kind of potentially pseudo demon Primarch, but as far as we know, you know, he would never willingly take in the powers of the warp, but that doesn't mean that you always get that choice. But as it stands, at least, he is alive but missing. We don't know where he is now. All we kind of mainly know is he is likely lurking outside the Tower of Lorgar, watching for him to leave.
Okay. This would put him above Dr. Mario but below Kirby.
No. Stop it.
It's not a tier list. Nobody said it. It didn't say it was a tier list. I'm just saying. We're just getting the info out there.
Yeah. So, Ferris Manus, the Iron Hand, Mr. Iron Hand himself with his Iron Hand, who leads his Iron Hands, was straight up decapitated and killed for real on Istvan 5, by his favorite sibling, Fulgrim.
Was a body left behind? Did we see the body?
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you what. There are a number of things that were done to that body.
Okay.
And that head. The head was rolled in front of Horus. And the corpse was left with the virus bomb.
Okay. That's the only way to know for sure.
No, yes. Dead for real is like literally, I mean, you can kind of see with the section above it where it is, you are on screen dead.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, Ferris Manus goes right into that category. Though there are many who held the theory, and we'll talk about this group later, but there are many who hold the theory. There are those who believe that Ferris Manus or the spirit of Ferris Manus is leading the Legion of the Damned, a group of space marines that come out of the warp. They are very like their armor is like very skeleton fire aesthetic. And they literally come out of the warp, just myrtleize demons that they essentially follow through the warp of. And then when they myrtleize all demons and enemies of the Imperium, go away.
Convenient. All right.
Yeah. So they are kind of like our first like example of like potential other order demons that like maybe like are like demons loyal to the Emperor kind of concept. And there are many that believe the one leading them could be Ferris Manus or his soul for that matter.
But it's not 100% certain.
No, there is zero certainty on that matter. There hasn't been like an explicit showing of a like Primarch, you know, level being that has been a part of the Shadow of the Damned, the Legion of the Damned. But like it is a commonly held fan theory. Anyways, next up is the angriest man of Angron. And we are definitely are all well, good and aware that this man is alive and returned, as he is now leading the World Eaters as his demonic self. And then also after the events of the Lion, Son of the Forest, gets bodied by the Lion. get wrecked.
And as we all know, because we're keeping up, his name is Aang Gran because he's raven themed. just like Korvax, that's how that works.
Yes. Next up, we have the rival of Corvus Korax, and that is Lorgar. As I alluded to in the previous story, while he got beaten up by his brother Corvus, he is still alive, but he is hiding out in his tower and kind of seemingly will likely leave when he seems to have the courage to fight any of his brothers.
So never.
You know, maybe. Though, I don't think he's going through all this trouble or like to never return to the fight, you know?
I mean, if I get like a sick tower out of the deal, like a cool chaos tower, I feel like it would take a lot to convince me to leave the tower. Like, I'd be like, it's here. It needs, someone's got to hang True. Out in here.
But you also aren't a Primarch that launched the galaxy into a civil war.
Okay, I could be. Yeah, 2025, new year, all right? Resolutions locked in.
Okay, so next, however, we have Alpharius and Omegon mm-hmm. slash and or. He is the entire reason that the Enigma book it exists. And the reason is, so Alpharius, very well is supposedly on screen dead by Rogel Dorn. And I say supposedly because this is once again, Alpharius of the Alpha Legion. There are multiple aspects to that. That Alpharius could have been Alpharius. That Alpharius could have been a plant of another Alpha Marine, like Space Marine, who was then pretending to be Alpharius. That could have been Omegon, disguised as Alpharius, which he would do multiple times because almost none of the Primarchs knew the existence of Omegon. Or Alpharius is dead. We don't know. We have no clue what that story is.
We simply don't know. We've exhausted all of our options. We have returned with nothing.
We are truly left with an enigma.
This could be D.B. Cooper, but we just don't know.
I'm not sure I get the reference.
I was scared that you... I felt a flicker of fear. I was like, oh God, am I too old? Does this mean I'm too old?
Well, I'm not that much younger than you, so...
Am I that decrepit?
I don't think it's about age in this scenario. I think it's just about...
Am I already 1 foot in the grave on this one?
Again, I don't think it's an age thing.
We need to continue so I can take my mind off of my rapid aging.
Oh yeah, this is not a man I had a concept for. Okay. That has nothing to do with age. It's just I didn't fucking know that shit. 2 years older than me, my ass is trying to bring up age. All right, well, on the plus side, with our next Primarch, we have officially learned that, yes, Fulgrim is returning. He is our snake man. Have you seen his model yet?
It's not the last one that he sent to me, was it?
Yeah, the snake man.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Looks very good.
A lot of people...
Looking great for having been away for a while.
Well, see, that's a funny thing. So a lot of people memed on it because they think the 30K one, which I showcased in our episode about the Chaos Legions, and they think it's worse looking than that. And I think the thing that they fail to understand is because, you know, Fulgrim looks more malformed, you know, right? But you're looking at a man who just turned into a demon prince versus a man now who has been a demon prince for 10,000 years. You know, it's the warp does some shit to you. You know, it's like looking at the person who's been addicted to meth for like 3 months versus 3 years. They're horridly different images. I knew I could bring up those old textbook comparisons one day.
Finally a chance.
You did it, public school.
Yay.
You made yourself relevant after high school. Okay. So obviously some people think that this could not be the case, but as far as it stands right now, we have Horus, who is on screen dead. It is no longer
hard confirmed.
Yeah, it is no longer necessarily though the case where it used to be, where it was like the emperor you know, like Thanos snapped Horus and his soul. Now it is the end of the death, volume three. Horus was given more a standard like killing blow. So technically nothing says that his soul is gone, but it's hard to remove that now or to like remove that concept of him being nigh returnable now. Now that we've had stories about the clone of Horus who didn't have a soul attached to it, you know, the fact that like he would have no concept in the Black Legion as a, you know, as a soul, despite that he supposedly, you know, relented at the very last moment of death. As far as we know, essentially he is on screen dead, down and confirmed. And we'll just kind of leave it as that, because even though he was horrifically powerful, it is what we are kind of left with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So next up, we have Jagatai Khan. He decided that he was going to take the fight to the Drukhari, one of his most hated enemies, Xenos enemies. He was going to go right into the webway and and combat the Drukhari. As a part of a thing with that, that does mean, however, that we don't really know what he's been doing for the last 10,000 years. Adeptus Ridiculus, though, had a great theory, and that would be the result of this poster that they made.
Mm.
But we don't know really what he's been up to. We just kind of know that he went into the webway to hunt some Drukhari. That's the last we saw of him. So as far as we know, he is alive but missing. But a great, I will note, this is my personal kind of take, is that he is a great candidate for a return if they want to do a Space Marines versus Drukhari, like start of the edition box, like every start of like an edition, right? So like 10th edition, we had the Leviathan box, which is Space Marines versus Tyranids. And they always do this at the beginning of every edition. The one before that, it was Necrons. And the one before that, it was Death Guard. My thought was that if they were going to do like a Space Marines versus Drukhari, because inherently there's a lot of signs pointing to them getting a big range update, a great thing to do would be to bring back Jagatai Khan and having him against the Drukhari. And like maybe if anything, that's when you can bring back an Azdrubale Vect model, which used to be available, but is no longer. But that sits as my personal belief of a good launch. I don't know if they'll actually ever do it, because I don't know that they would be willing to launch a box that doesn't include the Ultramarines. Otherwise, we have our first off-screen dead man, and that is of Rogel Dorne. So there are old and new theories with Rogel Dorne. The belief was, the first one of the older things was that he had gone to fight off on a ship and then had returned, or that when they had returned after the fight was done, they only returned with a black coffin and his arm, or his hand specifically, his imperial fist, if you will.
Yes.
But and
hold for a pause.
Yeah. So the more recent, I guess, thing with that, or that had like been talked about, somewhat made it seem more potentially correct that Rogel Dorne was in fact just killed by a good number of like essentially Chaos Space Marines. But again, it's that kind of same thing where he might not be in the box anymore, but the only thing that they have is his hand, and we don't have a body, right? So it's that classic thing of off-screen dead, don't have a body, technically cannot be ruled out for being dead. I have seen conjecture, though, and some that I agree with, actually, that he should stay dead, partly because he's so similar to Gilliman and like the way that they want to do some things. They don't like, they're still like they disagree a lot, like because Dorne doesn't care for the whole like economy thing, but from like a war standpoint, they're both pretty vanilla. Just one likes defenses a lot.
Could we not just slap some googly eyes on his hand and call it close enough?
think that would be heresy.
Like, what are you talking about? He's right there. And we just like point over to him and he's just got like rare googly eyes.
That's what I
think
it works.
I think enough time passes, people won't recognize the difference. They won't be able to tell.
You know, maybe. It's probably going to be just as sociable.
Exactly.
Speaking of those who are social butterflies. Or speaking of socialite, or the lack thereof, Conrad Kurz, he is dead for so many reasons. He foresaw his own death. B, because he deserves it. And C, he on screen let it happen. He on screen was like, this is what is meant to be. I have to die. I saw it. This must happen. Kill me, assassin.
Imagine living the kind of life. Like, can you imagine, like, after you die, like, your coworkers gathering around the water cooler and being like, you know, that guy's dead for so many reasons. like most people, they just die. But, like, this guy, he really had the deck stacked against him in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah, but if anyone deserves that, it's Kurz.
Yeah.
Because he's a sick fuck. He deserved for everything that, I mean, that's the thing, right? The whole funny thing about Kurz is the fact that it's like, he did all these terrible things, but he like, and the line brings this up in at the end of the book where he's like, you know, did you just use this whole, like all of that, this whole, like, you're gonna die, you foresee all these things, and you know, you're just making sure the future that you saw happens is just a justification of you being an asshole.
Yeah, just a cover. Trying to cover up for it. Yeah.
It's like, you know, you could have been like sanguineous, but instead you decided to be a dick and a sociopath. Speaking of the lion, though, we have our return man. There's a whole book about him being alive and returned now.
Our main man.
That's right. That book really made me love the Dark Angels. I will note, like, I'm so into
They're cool.
With them right now. But yeah, obviously we know he's back and he's kicking and he's working. And so is Magnus the Red, who is also working with his, you know, wonderful, beautiful model. It is bird-winged form.
Hooray!
Yep. The Thousand Suns are quite active in the 42nd millennium, as we learned from Space Marine 2. Fortunately, though, we did not see Magnus in that game, because if we did and somehow won, that game would have been totally shit on for its lore and accuracies.
A bit of a power imbalance there, yeah.
Yeah, just a little. The only way he could show up in that game and it not be lore inaccurate is if he showed up and just bodied everybody, and the only way that they got rid of him was by the whole platoon doing like the closing portal thing. Like, that's the only way they get rid of him.
Or if he mopped the floor and then just left.
Yeah.
Like came
that's
in.
That's fine. That would have been fine.
Cleared the room out for 30 seconds and then was like, I've done all I can do. Just leaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise, then we've got our other returned Primarch, the fourth Chaos God Primarch. This one of Nurgle. We've got Mortarion. And, you know, he's just angrily chilling out, you know? He's just being the big thorn in Gilliman's side. Just constantly trying.
Like you do.
Yeah, just constantly getting in his way. Okay, so now, I kind of hate to put him in this category because, you know, I wouldn't want to call him this, but he is technically doing it. We've got Perturabo, who is alive, but he's not doing anything on his own. He's just like weirdly mentoring the larger chaos warlords of the Iron Warriors, and he's technically a demon Primarch now. For whatever reason, he supposedly took demon powers, which is kind of out of character, but whatever. But he's just hanging out. in the warp somewhere in the Eye of Terror. Not really doing anything.
Does that almost count as alive but missing? Because he's just like missing motivation.
You know what? Maybe.
Like he's there. He's got a pulse, but really there's not a whole lot going on.
You know what? Maybe. But I think literally nothing is stopping. Unlike Lorgar, nothing is stopping him from just showing up and wrecking shit. So they're kind of being a bitch, but in different ways.
Okay.
Lorgar is being a scared bitch. Where Percharabo, like Percharabo tends to do, is being a bitch in the sense that it's like being a diva or like, you know, like a spoiled child, where it's just like, I don't wanna. I'm not gonna, because I don't wanna. But like, you're literally our Primarch. You can turn our tide. You can reunite our legion, and you can bring forth great beasts. No. All right, fucking douche. And then we have the first returned loyal Primarch in Gilliman. We're well aware that he has returned.
He's alive?
Yeah, they wouldn't shut up about it in Space Marine 2. And now we have, and because of said resurrection, we have a never-ending set of memes about Gilliman and Yavrain, which, you know, is now a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the good old Leman Russ, the Space Wolf, the Executioner. And despite that he did the backbreaker to Magnus, he is yet to inform whose backs he's been breaking in the Eye of Terror, as he very quickly had gone to chase after the traitor Primarchs that had gone into the Eye of Terror, and then never returned. So many point to him as being the next loyalist one to come back. We talked about this a little bit in the Loyalist Space Marines episode. My hope for a large part is that he does, when and if he returns, he does return with some character growth. Otherwise, if he's basically the same Leman Russ, while that could lead to some interesting, you know, like dichotomy between him and his sons, it would mean that we get one of the worst Primarchs character-wise back in the setting, and that would be lame. And it would ruin all the good things that the Space Wolves have had going for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously my opinion, but it's one I hold dearly. Otherwise, we have our definite other dead-for-real one in Sanguinius. He's so on-screen dead that he has showed up as a spirit to Dante, and who then, instead of bringing him with him to the afterlife, helped revive Dante with his soul power from being dead, which is the exact thing that Dante didn't want. But here we are. We'll talk about that more when we talk about the Blood Ravens, Blood Angels. And then finally, another missing one, but in a different way. So Vulcan is missing. But his was more interesting. So Leman Russ's return speech, you know, Corvus said nevermore, and then nobody knew what that meant. Leman Russ was like, I will return to fight with you at the end times. That was what he told his sons. Vulcan kind of had a similar one. He was like, I will go and I will return when the last fight is upon us. So that could mean like success, failure, whatever. But then he was specifically also was like, here are a bunch of relics, find them and I will return.
That's slightly less cryptic.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, there's kind of this two pronged thing of like, all right, I guess if we just find the relics, but I guess if we find the relics, then we will be in a battle in which we need him. So what's the chicken or egg here, you know, kind of thing.
Hmm.
Like, are we going to have to get into this war, this final battle to find the last relic? Like, there's a lot of questions around that.
Is there anyone who's like, what if we don't find these relics?
Well, I'm sure there are.
What if we just kind of leave that whole thing be? Like, is anybody currently like, you know, all these Triforce charts? I don't know. I got a whole thing going on right now. I don't really need another a war or a final battle or anything on my schedule. I'm really busy, so
I can't. I would definitely
leave these alone.
I can't. I cannot imagine that there is any salamander, especially a salamander, some of the most loyal space marines in the Imperium, are gonna not look for these relics when they can. You know, it's mm-hmm. like it's not obviously the whole Legion. But there's definitely gotta be like devoted, like we are the relic hunting team. But that being said, we have a good number of Primarchs though that are not dead for real and aren't yet returned. And you know, I have a couple of thoughts on what I think could or should be next. You know, I would love to see Vulcan return. I know we had a commenter recently that brought up this fact. And then I though would personally love to see Jagatai Khan return as a part of that box that I mentioned. But I, at least not for a long time, I feel like it's hard to say though, like to, you know, like how good, at least tabletop rules wise, it would do to bring back like Primarchs like Perturabo and Lorgar. You know, because it's like, mm-hmm. where do you place, like, because I mean, you would place them kind of like Abaddon, where you just kind of, they're part of Chaos Space Marines, but like technically, like running Gilliman locks you out of running any other special units, right? Because like Gilliman has an Ultramarines keyword that means like technically then you can't run certain like special ones. And luckily with Gilliman though, because he doesn't have the same problem as the Lion, you know, it's not like you know, it's not like you could run a Dark Angels unit in a normal Space Marine army anyway, right? I always kind of wonder if like it would futz with like some of it mechanically, but I also just kind of wonder like, all right, you've got an unaligned Demon Primarch. You know, what do we do? And then Alpharius is kind of another thing of like slash Omegon, the Enigma.
One or the other.
Pick yeah, it's just like, what do you do there too, right? But I'm curious as to your thoughts. Like, you've been getting into this lore. You've been now being able to see both the mystery and the revelations of certain Primarchs and the returns. You know, do you feel like that it reduces their weight, or do you like to keep it with the mystery, or do you want there to be, you know, some type of like, do you want it to stay as a mystery, or do you like them returning? Because this, like, because tabletop is a whole thing, and that's honestly a separate point entirely, because it doesn't matter. The tabletop in that, in the regard of the Primarchs coming back, doesn't matter. Because the Lion's been out for over a year, and it's barely seen the tabletop because his model and his rules and the way, and like his ability to like meta-wise go on in the game has sucked. So like, it's clearly not a overpowered issue tabletop-wise. I'm curious mm-hmm. though, from the lore perspective, is where most people don't want the Primarchs to come back. What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely can speak more to the general lore than to anything with the gameplay mechanics. I haven't felt strongly about it one way or the other. I think it's fun that there are a couple of these Primarchs that are like, not only are they missing, they're effectively wiped from the history books in a very much like you never they never existed to begin with. Stop pretending that they existed. I don't really mind having more of these Primarchs that are currently missing kind of come back into the thing. I feel like they've been gone long enough that it's like we can bring some of them back. Like, I'd be cool with kind of getting a little more on what Corvus has been up to. You know, there was already so much that they had him doing that I'd be cool with, like, let's get a definitive follow up of, like, this is where he is now. This is what's actually going on. Yeah, I don't know. I don't hate the idea of. I don't think any of these characters in their current position, there's not any of them that I'm like, don't touch them, leave them be, you know. Like, I feel like any of them are kind of prime real estate to bring them back into the fold if we need to.
Now, do you feel that way about the ones who are dead?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I come into this here in our second year of doing this, fully looking at this as a world of scientific magical bullshit where anything is possible, anything can happen. There are no rules except for the rules created by the Emperor, and we all saw how that went down. You know, outlive, outplay, outlast, survivor. I feel like anyone who's, even the ones that are dead for real and we have literally seen the bodies, I'm like, if you can come up with a wild enough reasoning that they are suddenly alive again, if it is wild and crazy and still fits with the overall thematic nature of 40K, I do it. Go crazy with it. Go full WrestleMania, you know. Put everybody on the card. Get everybody in the Royal Rumble. I got no problem with that. Get all the warriors in there.
The only reason I think I'd be a little concerned about Horus would be a power dynamic issue. But I would love to see the conflict between that could potentially exist between him and Abaddon, because at this point Abaddon kind of holds a lot of resentment to Horus, you know, for failing, right? He kind of looks at him like he's a failure, and we got sent to the Eye of Terror and went through this horrifically bloody civil war amongst our, you know, traitors, fellow traitors, and it's all because you failed, right? The other ones I wouldn't mind. I think I like the theory of like a Ferris Manus being like the undead leader of the Legion of the Damned. I like that theory. So that I'd be very okay with.
Let Ferris Manus come back and he has an even larger hand where the other hand used to be. I want him to come back and now it is just he is overcompensated to such a degree that he has replaced the old hand with one that is now like three times as large and it can like shoot, you know, Kamehamehas out of it.
See,
just go full crazy with it.
And, you know, this season I want to talk about a number of the Primarchs and their legions, like individually as an episode. And the funny thing with the Iron Hands is the fact that like a lot of the Iron Hands currently, they actually kind of have a bit of that, like, it's like a complex of like, you know, daddy failed me. And because of that, you know, we think that like, we're going to kind of warp his beliefs as almost a form of like, as like a coping mechanism, right? Like Ferris had believed in the strength of steel, but a big thing with Ferris was like, you have to build your body first before you can, you know, like your body and mind must be set before you can grow and call yourself strong. Right. He would have hated what the Iron Hands are now, but the Iron Hands kind of had looked at that lesson and were like, well, he believed that lesson and he died. So let's not do that. Let's instead just go all in on the metal. So if he came back as just himself, I think it would be interesting. It'd be a really interesting, like, back and forth of like Ferris coming back and being like, what have you done, my sons? What have you done to yourselves?
Yeah, it's just Donald Glover from the Community clip where he's walking into the room with the pizzas and everything's on fire.
Yeah. But I think Sanguinius is the probably one of, like I said, like I like the other two I can make reasons to maybe have come back or whatnot. But like, yeah, it's Horus and Sanguinius. I think part of the reason with Sanguinius, though, is that I wouldn't want him to necessarily return. It's A, the importance that he has to giving the Blood Angels so much character. You know, like, he gives them the fact that, like, they have the Red Thirst. And
I was going to say, without his death, you don't have the Black Rage. Yeah.
Yeah. And it gives them so much character and intrigue. I mean, you know, if you have Warhammer Plus, you know, and you watch, and like watching Angels of Death, which I did recently, like it is so good. And like watching what they have to do and like how they interact with fighting off the Black Rage, it's just so interesting. And I love it. And I feel like it would go away if Sanguinius came back. But on the other hand, the part of me that loves Sanguinius as Sanguinius would also love to have him return. Are you kidding me? He's sick. It's Sanguinius. How can you not love him?
Yeah.
Especially like when we talk about him too. He is just so likable. Because it's not just like that he's a cool and nice guy, but it's like, he, you know,
he's just because a chill he
cares.
Guy.
Because he cares, he's just a chill guy. Because he cares, you know, like it makes him relatable. Because you really feel for his desire to protect humanity and the Imperium, you know, and his father. But yeah, I wanted your thought on that because yeah. I think I'm okay personally as well with many of the Primarchs returning. You know, I think they don't, you know, they don't always need to stay in all of the buckets below alive and returned. But I do understand the fear of extra convolutedness to the Warhammer 40K story if all 18/19 Primarchs were to return.
Yeah. And I being me and being newer to this, to all of this lore, I carry no reservations. I have no concerns about how convoluted it gets. I'm over here like, yes, get more convoluted, get more crazy.
Yeah. And I think for being somewhat older lore head, but then still not crazy old, I think that's where I maybe why I hold it maybe a little bit in the middle, just a, like slight reservation. But I do also agree that like, hey, you know what, at some point that plot's gonna just have to hit ahead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, this plot's been going on since the 80s in some respect. It's seen a lot of retcons over the many years. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of that's why I sit in the middle. You know, I don't really I would love it, but I wouldn't mind it if it took its time. You know, honestly, yeah. I mean, this is a very theoretical episode, you know, but
we're just theory brewing. We're just crafting. Yeah.
But, you know, with the announcement of Fulgrim, you know, I always kind of feel, I don't know, there's that part of me that's, you know, kind of like, hey, this would be fun to think about what's next, you know. I'm incredibly excited about Fulgrim's release this year and the Emperor's Children. The Emperor's Children being absolutely one of my favorite traitor legions. And seeing what will be brought about and the multiple implications that are in existence with his return are going to be very interesting. For example, a small bit of, because we're going to do an episode before Fulgrim launches. It's going to be like our hype episode.
Nice.
And Fulgrim is in possession of one of the crone swords. And if you don't recall, the crone swords are the things that the Yanari are looking for to kill Slaanesh.
Well, great. So you can just hand that over and, you know, they'll be able to.
Yeah, just, sure. Yeah.
Have that cleaned right up. And
yeah, if there's only that one weird problem of, you know, he's kind of got that whole I'm with Slaanesh thing going on.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, listen, you can make, you could work that out. We can work it out. I'm down. Listen, give my Chaos Gods character growth, okay? Yeah. Give them depth. I want to see it.
No, I mean, the other Primarchs I think will be very interesting to see return for various reasons. And I wouldn't, you know, and I'd be very interested to see what comes about it. But definitely, yeah, we're going to probably, once we kind of get, I think once I kind of get a more, we at least have a better idea of the release window of Emperor's Children, that's kind of when we'll do the episode. Kind of be like, once we get the window, I'll do it then. Because usually when you get the window, that means you maybe have like a month or a month and a half, like ahead of time. So when the window comes out is when a bunch of the hype is going to hit. So we're going to get right into that release window. we're going to really play the algorithm.
Yep.
But also I love Fulgrim, so I will be happy to talk about him whenever. I have the thought though of having you try to read the book before we did that, but I kind of almost don't know if I want to.
I don't know. Reading's hard. Spoil that.
I almost kind of want to tell you about it first, but then like, you know, it's such a catch 22, you know? Like,
oh, well, I've read that one, so we can already.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a book at least you could probably find on your e-reader. For an e-reader, but as I say, otherwise it can be tough to find, so I'd have to end up sending it to you.
Honestly, that's one of those things where like if you set me the task of like I need you to find and read a physical copy of this Warhammer 40k book,
oh yeah, no, that's
you know me, I get a thrill out of like dumb little adventures like that. Like I will 100% go to my local library, I will like find a way to request it online. I will go to the bookstores, any bookstore I can find, you know.
Yeah.
That's what makes life worth living is being like, go find this Warhammer 40K book. And I'm just like, hell yeah. Look, man, we found Mozart music after hundreds of years of that man not being around anymore. If we can do that, humanity is more than capable of finding out of print Warhammer 40K book. We can do this.
True, valid. I mean, granted, you know, my fiance's parents did, so if they can, I feel like you can.
Yeah. And they were way smarter than Mozart, so like we got this.
Exactly. I think it could be a fun like pre-read before we get into like who are the Emperor's children and who is Fulgrim. Because he is quite an interesting guy. But that's enough future theory crafting. Next week, we're going to start with a proper lore episode. And we'll be talking about the Death Watch next week.
Sick.
So, yeah. So stay tuned for that. I was going to potentially be this episode this week, but I was like, I want to do the first episode on something kind of fun, something to tickle the brain, if you will.
Are you trying to suggest that the Death Watch isn't fun? I feel like Titus would disagree with you.
Well, actually, the bigger problem is more, they're much like Omegon and Alpharius. They're kind of an enigma in the world of in the fandom of 40K at the moment. I think they got a big boost though because of Titus. There is absolute truth in that, and we will talk about that next week.
Hear me out. What if we stick googly eyes on the Death Watch? Problem solved.
That's your answer to everything, but just saying. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Goodbye, goodbye.